Hello and welcome. I've spent the last few years sitting with teachers, museum folks, librarians, and community organizers from all over the country. People who care deeply about the places they call home. And no matter where we were, tiny mining town or big city block, one thing came up every time. Storytelling. It's the bridge between dusty archives and real human connection. It turns some old building into the bakery where my grandfather proposed, or a date in a textbook, into the day our neighborhood came together. I've taught this to more than 500 people working in community engagement and museums. And the pattern is clear. Storytelling isn't a garnish. It's the secret sauce. When you get the story right, history stops sitting in the past and starts shaping the present. Our choices, our pride, our sense of belonging. Research backs it up. Communities that invest in storytelling see more neighbors showing up, volunteering, voting, joining local groups. In everyday terms, that's more names learned at the farmer's market and more hands to lift a project from idea to reality. Let me show you what this looks like on the ground. Years ago in Colorado, the Historical Society teamed up with Story Center for a project on Italian-American heritage. It wasn't a lecture series. It was families scanning old photos, sharing recipes, recording memories, grandchildren asking grandparents what it felt like to arrive in a new country, and why Sunday dinners mattered. 1 year later, participation in local Italian-American cultural events jumped by about 60%. If a festival used to draw 100 people, suddenly 160 were there. Cousins, neighbors, and folks with no Italian roots who just wanted to be part of something joyful. New community groups sprang up to keep those stories alive. That's the power of story. Heritage becomes something to live in. Here's another close to my heart. In Portsmouth, New Hampshire, a project invited military families, service members, veterans, spouses, kids to record their stories. Not just the big headlines, but the everyday moments. The sound of boots on the porch after months away. A child counting down sleeps on a paper chain. The quiet courage of waiting. Nearly 4 out of 5 families said they felt more connected to their community after participating. Imagine that ripple effect. Neighbors who understand each other. School counselors who know what to ask. Local businesses putting up signs that say, "We're here for you." When we share stories of service and resilience, we build a net that catches people before they fall. In Detroit, storytelling changed whose history got told. Residents from neighborhoods across the city, immigrant families, Black communities, indigenous voices, recorded memories, corner stores as gathering places, block parties, factories, losses, wins. The result wasn't just a richer archive, it altered the city's decisions. New historical markers in places once overlooked, and planning choices shaped by what people said mattered. Inclusive storytelling means you don't wait for the usual suspects to show up at the museum. You go to barbershops, churches, playgrounds, senior centers, and you ask, "Whose voice is missing here?" Then you listen. Sometimes storytelling is the missing link between the past and the problems we face now. In Massachusetts, farmers, fishermen, and longtime residents talked about land and water, the storms that feel different, the fish that don't run like they used to, the fields that flood in ways their grandparents never saw. Collected together, those stories gave local leaders a map of lived experience. A dozen towns used them to shape climate adaptation plans, and the state took notice. When your neighbor says, "Here's what the river looked like in 74, and here's what it looks like now," you don't just have data, you have direction. Storytelling also helps us place our own town in the bigger American story. The Smithsonian's History Explorer program connects classrooms with national themes through local places. Teachers tell me it flips a switch. Instead of memorizing a timeline, kids realize, "Oh, my block is part of that," Schools using this approach saw about a third more students leaning forward, asking questions, telling their own family histories. And when students get curious, families get curious, and local sites see more visitors. The story spreads. And let's talk about participation. When people can contribute their own photos, letters, and memories through an online platform or a simple community upload day, everything changes. Projects that invite contributions tend to see 3 to 4 times more engagement. It's like moving from a one-way lecture to a neighborhood potluck. Suddenly, you're not just preserving history, you're building a chorus. Underneath all of this is a simple truth. Storytelling humanizes history. It turns dates into voices, places into characters, and events into moments you can feel. That feeling, connection, is what moves people to show up, donate a photo, sign up for the cleanup, or bring a friend to the next exhibit. In a country where local history can be complicated and sometimes painful, stories give us a shared table. They make space for honesty, disagreement, and healing. If you're thinking, this sounds great, but how do we start? Here's a small recipe that works almost anywhere. Begin with one object or one place. Not 10, one. Maybe it's the elm tree on the corner, the diner that's been open since your mom was a kid, a quilt in the church basement, a bus stop where a protest began. Then ask 3 questions. What happened here? Who was involved and who's missing from our version of the story? How does this connect to something we're wrestling with today? Pair that with one simple invitation. Post a story circle at the library or rec center. Put a sign at the museum front desk. Got 5 minutes? Tell us about your first day in this neighborhood. Set up a phone on a tripod and record in 5-minute bursts. No fancy equipment, just an open door and a warm welcome. When people share, give them something tangible back. A copy of their recording, their photo printed and credited on the wall, a map with a dot where their story lives. So they can bring their kids and say, see that? That's ours. And always ask, who else should we talk to? That's how the circle widens. A few friendly guardrails help. Don't overpolish. Real voices, background sounds, imperfect sentences, that's the good stuff. Avoid gatekeeping. If only perfect grammar and glossy photos make the cut, you'll miss the soul of the place. Remember, history is not a courtroom. It's a conversation. Let different memories sit side by side and show that disagreement can be part of learning, not a reason to opt out. If you're a teacher, pair your unit on immigration with a neighborhood story day where students interview family or neighbors and add those voices to a living archive. If you work with a museum or library, try a bring an object afternoon. One table, one scanner, one volunteer helping folks label photos and share a memory. If you're a city planner, add a story station to public meetings and ask residents to talk about a street corner before your show the traffic counts. Small moves like these turn numbers into neighbors. And if you're simply someone who loves your town, you can start today. Ask a friend 2 questions. What's a place in our community that means something to you? And what's a story you'd want future kids here to know? Record it with their permission, jot a few notes, and bring it to your local library or historical society. They'll be thrilled. Here's what I want you to carry. Storytelling isn't a trick to make history interesting. It's how humans make meaning. It's how we know who we are. When we treat local history as a living conversation, when we invite more voices, connect yesterday to today, and share the mic, we don't just preserve the past. We build the kind of community where people feel they belong. So as you go about your day, look around. The mural on the brick wall, the faded storefront, the creek that swells after a storm. Each one holds a story someone needs to hear. Pick one, start small, and see what opens up. If you want the nitty-gritty, tools, links, examples, it's in the written guide. You don't need perfect. You just need the first question. Thanks for spending this time with me. Here's to the stories under our feet and to the neighbors who bring them to life.